Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You've turned to the Herbert Hoover History Podcast, and today we'll be discussing the events that unfolded during the ninth period of U.S. history. First, we should start off with the rise of conservatism, which began when Ronald Reagan was elected for president in 1980. Reagan was quickly able to assert his method of economics known as Reaganomics. President Ronald Reagan solidified conservative Republican strength with tax cuts, greatly increased defense spending, deregulation of industry, a policy of rolling back communism rather than just containing it, a greatly strengthened military, and appeals to family values and conservative Judeo-Christian morality. A few reasons for the growth of conservatism was a decrease in public trust in government because of political scandals such as Watergate and Pentagon Papers. Other examples would be the foreign policy failures such as the Iran hostage crisis. This resulted in social and moral decay, increasing crime and juvenile delinquency. However, some of the successes of the conservative movements were the reduced taxes, which were deemed Reaganomics. This also resulted in reduced regulations of industries, meaning less government involvement. The failures of the conservative movement were that the size of the government grew, despite denouncing big government. However, moral ideas met opposition when the Supreme Court case of Planned Parenthood versus Casey confirmed that the basic ruling of Roe versus Wade that states prohibited banning most abortions. The abortion debate began in 1973 when Supreme Court's decision in Roe versus Wade created a national political and legal upheaval.
After these events took place, Ronald Reagan's presidency began. He was sworn into office on January 20, 1981. Just over 2 months after his inauguration on March 30, 1981, Reagan survived an assassination attempt by John Hinckley Jr., a man with a history of psychiatric problems outside a hotel in Washington, D.C. The gunman's bullet pierced one of the president's lungs and narrowly missed his heart. Reagan, known for his good-natured humor, later told his wife, "Honey, I forgot to duck." Within several weeks of the shooting, Reagan was back at work. In foreign affairs, Ronald Reagan's first term in office was marked by a massive buildup of U.S. weapons and troops, as well as an escalation of the Cold War with the Soviet Union, which the president dubbed the Evil Empire. Key to his administration foreign policy initiatives was the Reagan Doctrine, under which America provided aid to anti-communist movements in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. In 1983, Reagan announced the Strategic Defense Initiative, a plan to develop space-based weapons to protect America from attacks by Soviet nuclear missiles, also known as Star Wars. Also on the foreign affairs front, Reagan sent 800 U.S. Marines to Lebanon as a part of an international peacekeeping force after Israel invaded that nation in June 1982. In October 1983, suicide bombers attacked the Marine barracks in Beirut, killing 241 Americans. That same month, Reagan ordered U.S. forces to lead an invasion of Grenada, an island in the Caribbean. During his second term, Reagan forged a diplomatic relationship with the reform-minded Mikhail Gorbachev, who became leader of the Soviet Union in 1985. In 1987, the Americans and Soviets signed a historic agreement to eliminate intermediate-range nuclear missiles. That same year, Reagan spoke at Germany's Berlin Wall, a symbol of communism, and famously challenged Gorbachev to tear it down. 29 months later, Gorbachev allowed the people of Berlin to dismantle the wall. After leaving the White House, Reagan returned to Germany in September 1990, just weeks before Germany was officially reunified, and took several symbolic swings with a hammer at a remaining chunk of the wall. After this time, we had the post-Cold War world era. Three things defining the post-Cold War world were U.S. power. The second was the rise of China as a center of global industrial growth based on low wages. The third was the reemergence of Europe as a massive integrated economic power. Meanwhile, Russia, the main remnant of the Soviet Union, reeled while Japan shifted to a dramatically different economic mode. The post-Cold War world had two phases. The first lasted from December 31, 1991 until September 11, 2001. The second lasted from 9/11 until now. The initial phase of the post-Cold War world was built on two assumptions. The first assumption was that the United States was a dominant political and military power, but that such power was less significant than before. Since economics was the new focus, the second phase still revolved around the three great powers, the United States, China, and Europe, but involved a major shift in the world view of the United States, which then assumed that the preeminence included the power to reshape the Islamic world through military action, while China and Europe single-mindedly focused on economic matters.
The U.S. economy post-1980 remained shaky. It suffered an inequality increase due to a loss in manufacturing jobs that occurred, as well as the stagnation of middle-class wages. Additionally, there were many debates as to free trade. Agreements such as NAFTA, which allowed the United States, Canada, and Mexico to trade tariff-free, led to disagreements, some arguing that these free trade policies increased outsourcing, while others arguing that it decreased the price of goods. Debates over social safety nets were also on the rise, with the generation known as baby boomers beginning to retire and drawing from the Social Security, begging the question about how long the money can last. Foreign policy as well as immigration talks were also fluctuating. The Middle East conflict, along with the climate change, led to everlasting debates over U.S. dependency on oil and fossil fuels, debates that go on even to this day. Many catastrophic events, such as the notorious terrorist attack that occurred on November 11, 2001, were swiftly met with laws such as the Patriot Act, which allowed the United States government to better detect and deter terrorism by often invading privacy. With the continuation of nativism, many sought to better control the U.S. immigration concerns. The Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986 was established to increase border security and punish those who hired immigrant workers. This was just one example of the many debates the United States was having regarding immigration, debates that were sparked from the large Asian and Latin American population increase in 1965. More modern issues, such as the gay and lesbian debates, were often met with don't ask, don't tell policy, where no one would ask nor require the need to mention one's sex preference. This policy was later overturned by President Obama as the matter was dialed up in popularity. And that's all we have for period 9. It would be highly beneficial to study up on Reaganomics, foreign policy, as well as immigration talks, as they are the most likely to show up on the test. One short answer practice question to keep in mind regards the rise of conservatism in the 1980s, in which you must A. briefly explain one cause for the rise of conservatism, B. briefly explain one success of the conservative movement, and C. briefly explain one failure of the conservative movement.